To that all day long. Dave Brubeck and the Dave Brubeck Quartet with Take Five. It's one of the greatest hits in jazz. Brubeck is on piano. Paul Desmond, who wrote and composed a tune, which originally was a song, is also on alto sax. Eugene Wright, Joe Morello on drums, and this was recorded and released in 1959 as part of an album of Brubeck's greatest hits. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and you know, I've been getting tired of where we are as a nation, where it's just like we're in one big pot of soup. It's not even particularly delicious. But we're swimming around in this pot of soup, going absolutely nowhere, and waiting for some sign that it would soon be over. And even that is not happening fast enough. So it is a bit disappointing, very disappointing where we are. And we'll get to that in a minute. Meanwhile, Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City said yesterday that curbing the unrelenting spread of COVID-19 might require, may very well require, shutting down the city for a second time. I'm sure that it's not good news. That was not warmly received by New Yorkers. Because it just needs, it needs more heartache, more inconvenience. But that's where we are. That's the issue. We have to grin and bear it. But in New York City, you have a hardy group. They're a tough group in New York, and they can take it. But after a while, even the hardiest of people, like New Yorkers, they say, I mean, how much more can we take? It is a rough way to go, but our encouragement to you, New York, is that you just hang in. It's the only thing you can do right about now. Just hang in. All right. So I have two questions, and you can choose one of them and talk about them today. Have recent events and experiences significantly reshaped your political thinking and outlook? If so, in what ways? I'll repeat. Have recent events and experiences significantly reshaped your political thinking and outlook? And if so, in what ways? The second question I want to ask you is, what in your view is Donald Trump's place in history? What in your view is Donald Trump's place in history? All right. As you can see, we're getting quite personal today in our questions. Looking to see whether or, and how you were conscious of, in this short time, yes, it is a short time, but you have evolved. We all have. We've been deeply impacted by life and the things that have been happening in our lives and to our lives. But do you ever stop to think about it? It's a good idea. That's why I'm asking the question. Have recent events and experiences significantly reshaped your political thinking and outlook? If so, in what ways? You could choose the other question. What, in your view, is Donald Trump's place in history? All right. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's hear what you're thinking out there. I don't think we are in the habit of assessing either of these questions, just as a matter of course. We don't think about ways in which we have grown or not grown personally, how our views have changed, if they have, and what caused the change, and who are we now as opposed to who we were just not too long ago. And in the with regard to the second question, this is your personal take. And it's not about whether you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump. It is about looking at a person who is a major figure in our experience, in our consciousness. Where would you place him in history? Where does he fit, as you see it, in history, and why? For what reason would you choose to locate him in a particular place in our collective history? 888-874-4888. Let's see who is going to take on the question. Just pick one of them. And let's hear what you have to say. Again, it is not meant to be some kind of interrogation of your personal beliefs, but we're looking to see how conscious you are, or if you're conscious at all, of how you have changed. Something in you has changed by virtue of your experience in the last several months or years with regard to Donald Trump and just yourself, observing how life is unfolding. And are you thinking along the same lines that you've always been thinking? Or has something happened that interrupted that path and put you on another path? And if so, what is it? Have you figured it out? Where are you now in your political journey? Have you figured that out? 888-874-4888. It's a philosophical question, yes. But it's the kind of philosophical question that we need from time to time to answer. Because we seldom pause to calibrate how we have grown. or how we have changed, how our vision, our experience, all these things have changed by virtue of life, living life in the past couple of years. And you see things that you didn't pay attention to before. And you start thinking things that didn't occur to you before. And it has to do with locating yourself also on that axis. You know, where do you fall on that axis of activist or leader or whatever that axis is? How do you see yourself? And I have to cough for a minute. Excuse me. How do you see yourself? And what, as you think about it, what has caused you to change? And how has that change occurred? Or how is that change occurring in your life? What is it producing as a result in your life? Do you ever think about these things? I think about these things all the time. I think about them because they're so automatic. We hardly ever pay attention to how we are changing, how we are evolving in terms of how the world is also changing and evolving. How do we relate to that as an individual versus the world, the rest of the world, how it's operating, how we are operating? Are we in sync? Are we out of sync? What is going on? Especially when we come through cataclysmic experiences, like what we're going through now. It's a major experience. And yet we're encouraged not to think of it that way. We are encouraged just to think of it as another day. And sooner or later, years from now, it might occur to you that you actually have experienced a change, but you can't understand how come you didn't notice it. And from what to what have you changed? That's the question. Why are these philosophical questions very important from time to time to take note of? Because, again, you're not ordinary. You are occupying space in this universe. You have the potential to influence things, influence people. And one thing that from time to time you're in touch with how you're changing, if you're changing at all. And what is it making you into? How are you being shaped? How are you today different from the person that you knew for yourself just 5 years ago, 6 years ago? What are your concerns today that are so different from your concerns years ago? Have you ever stopped to think about that? And how do you think people see you? Do they see you as a person who could help them think something through, give them advice, point them in the right direction? Or is this where you are, looking for advice and looking to be pointed in the right direction? Did something interrupt your growth? Or did something accelerate your growth? These are very philosophical questions, you might say. But my feeling is you ought to have some kind of gauge as to where you are today as opposed to where you were a couple of years ago. And whether you can say yeah, I could see how I have changed. I can see how I have matured. I can see the system much clearer. I have a better understanding, a better grasp of how I deal with it. All these different layers that I find myself functioning in. And before, I used to be overwhelmed by them, but now I find myself more able to cope because I understand things better. Is that you? And in case it might be you, how do you think you're affecting your community, people around you, your family, in this process of growth, spiritual growth, or just plain old aging growth? Or are you growing in terms of your understanding of things? How do you calibrate yourself? How do you describe yourself in this process that you're in, which is continuous? And you will change continually. We all do. But some people are more conscious of the change. Others are just, you know, they think of it as just how life works and they accept it as such. But they don't do very much thinking about it. There are others who do think about it. It's not right or wrong. It's just how people are calibrating themselves. I'm fascinated by that because in the end, we will find that with the challenges that we have to face in life, an understanding of ourselves is so important because we may or may not be counted on to make that difference. We may or may not be part of the process itself of change, and we may or may not be ready. We may or may not be ready. There are many people who have aged and are aging and are quietly terrified because the world has changed and continues to change around them, but they're not sure that they can change with the world. They're not sure that they can keep up. And they're not sure of what they have become or who they have become. They know themselves to be something, but maybe that's not who they really are. Or maybe what they know themselves to be is falling a little short of what they see themselves as wanting to be in order to cope with the times that we're in. So it's a philosophical question. And we don't ask it very often because it's daunting, to be very honest. It's daunting. And I'm not asking the question in order to be daunting. I'm asking the question to provoke a response from you that you perhaps have not thought of. You haven't given yourself the time or the space to think about it and to measure, if you will, how much better today you are prepared to help others or to understand situations and find your way through them, wrestle with them, deal with them. Okay. So if you're in a philosophical mood, let's hear from you at 888-874-4888. Ed from Jamaica, you're on the top of the list. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Okay. How about you?
Oh, well, you know, me and my son.
You and your son.
Me and my son. Yeah.
You have some dependable and faithful sons.
Well, they're well developed these days. Pertaining to your first question, as far as politically, my political views, it really hasn't changed much. I've always been a person that believes all politics is local. But as I get older, I find myself choosing my battles more precisely. I don't know if it's got to do with just general age and the lack of energy or the increase in my comprehension as far as what's attainable and what's not. But I find myself picking my fights and exerting my energy to where I can see some results, which is a little selfish, but, you know, be that as it may, I'm choosing battles better. And I feel I'm choosing things that where you can see a winnable or a marked result as opposed to general struggle. Neighborhood things, improving the neighborhood, South Jamaica, like even that time I told you, you talked about picking up a broom and trying to foster community. I find that more than the national scene, more than the large political scene. And you see some results, so it gives me a little motivation. So that's where a lot of my political energies, for want of a better word, has changed. I'm trying to be more locally minded, trying to improve my immediate area. That being said, as far as Trump, I think it's too early to call to give him a footnote in history, because we're not done with him yet. He's going to be coming back 4 years down the road or something involved with him. And we haven't seen the last of Mr. Trump, unfortunately, is my opinion. There are 73 million people out there that still want this guy in power or in some type of authoritative position and believe in him. And I don't think we've heard the last of it yet. To coarsely try to put him somewhere, it just goes to show you that the more things change, the more they stay the same. This country is still a racist country. This country is still motivated. A large segment of this country is still motivated by hate and fear and ignorance. And it sells. It can play if we're not careful.
But as you think about it, you look back a little bit, does it not surprise you that he was able to crash land into our lives the way he did and do the things that he did all the way through his presidency and still is threatening to do more? What did that cause you to think about the nature of this country that would allow that kind of activity and action from a president?
Well, as I've said before, you can't view things in a vacuum. Trump just didn't pop up. I mean, you've got to look at the whole history of this country, the recent history of this country. I mean, look at Ronald Reagan. Look at what he did. I mean, he was involved in Iran-Contra. He was involved in the COINTELPRO operation to bring drugs into the community. Look at George Bush, involved in a fake war with yellow cake uranium and you know, look at Bush Jr. torture. I mean, look at Obama. You know, I mean, this thing, he just didn't manifest himself out of nothingness. There was a stage that was set, and he stepped on the stage. His personality, his makeup made him prime time man for this time. And he was boosted by the media. He was boosted by the people. He fit the bill. He was the culmination of depravity. He wasn't the manifestation of anything. He was the end result when you lower the bar below the ocean.
Well, thank you for getting us started. You put a lot of stuff out there that I'm sure people are saying, wow. I never thought about that. And that's true for most of us. We're so busy trying to figure out, you know, what our next move ought to be. We don't have time. We don't take time to review life and figure out where we are and why we are where we are. So every now and then, I think it pays to just be calm and restful and think about this. Well, so let me ask you before we move on, I want to ask you, Ed, where do you place yourself now in life?
I'm not a spring chicken, chronologically speaking and experience wise. I'm trying to wrap it up. You know, I mean, not to be depressive, but I'm trying to. I had an uncle, his name was Kenneth, and he was a very, very learned guy. He read a lot. He didn't actually go to college, but he was self-educated, and he always said, You've got to take pause, because if you don't know where you've been, you can't know where you're going. And right now I'm trying to look at where I've been and what I'm leaving behind. You know, when I'm at the end of this, what would be said? How would I be thought of? Who would think of me? Things like that, you know. I mean, it's a... This time of year has always been a little melancholy for me. The coming of the new year, auld lang syne, and things of that nature. But as I get older, I find it more of a question of what am I leaving behind as to what am I doing right now. So, you know, you want to go out on a high note. That's where I'm at.
All right. Well, thank you. Very introspective. And you got us started. Let's see who you've inspired today to answer the same questions at 888-874-4888. Where do you place yourself right now? And we're using the backdrop of all of the recent calamities we have been through and the experiences we've had as a nation. But in the end, it has to do with how you see yourself unfolding. Are you where you want to be? Do you see yourself as having a positive influence in your circle of influence? Do you see yourself as being a positive person? Do you see this experience that we've had with Donald Trump? Has it caused you to review in any way how you're living, what you think is important? Ed talked about being concerned about what you leave behind after you go. I don't want to wish you a fond farewell just yet. I hope you hang in there for many more years to come. But the point I'm making is that we seldom pause to think about these things. How we ourselves are transforming, even as we transform others or events around us. Do you ever stop to think about that? And if so, what have you discovered about yourself as you walk down life's road? Where do you place yourself? And what do you see yourself as contributing, if anything? What are you still apprehensive about that you haven't yet mastered? You haven't yet gotten into it the way you wanted to. But more than anything else, just how do you put these experiences, these, for the time being, they look like outside experiences, but they do have an effect on you. Like right now, we're talking, and I'm kind of down about where this country is. Why did it get here? How did it get here? And why am I being affected when you're trying to do some other things to move you in a whole different direction, and here comes this thing this block of things that, you know, you're supposed to contend with. And in any event, whether you contend with them or not, they will affect you. So you have to be aware as you move that other things are moving around you. How do you balance the two? Do you have any idea? 888-874-4888. Okay, it's time for a break. Let's do that. We'll take a short break and come back and continue the conversation right after this. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're going a little philosophical today, only because it's time. We have been subjected and battered, and we've just been trying to keep our noses above water. But we should take some time and ponder the question, where are we on our own map as we deal with the craziness that's around us? On our own map, our own plan for ourselves, where we want to go, what we want to do, what we want to achieve. How are we performing? And do we feel like the events, the national events, have had inordinate impact on the way we feel every day and impinging on what we want to do? Has it affected us at all, mentally, psychologically? Or are we just as good as new, as we always were? I don't think so. If you told me that, I wouldn't believe it. I would believe that somehow we carry this around with us. We know there's a difference in the way we're living now and the way we had wanted to live and the things that we wanted to do and achieve. We may not have yet achieved them, and we have some feelings about that that we've bottled up inside. But we're not acknowledging it. The second question, which gives you a choice, is what, in your view, is Donald Trump's place in history based on what we have experienced in the past 4 years at least? What should he be known for, and what should he be known as? Do you have any ideas? And why do you think the way you think about Donald Trump? What should he be known for? What should he be known as? He's soon going to be walking out the door. We don't know that to be true, but we'll see. But a person like that is worth studying. And you find out, after you go through some things in a more close way, you see how people become different from what they presented themselves as in the beginning. Something fundamentally changes, and you are left stumped. He's saying, how did I miss that? Where did this part of him come from? So I'm asking, are you in that category? Have you, these 4 years, having given you an insight into what this president has been and has done and continues to do, are you shocked that you missed it? And are you shocked all the more that it continues? And apparently there's nobody in the way to stop him from being who and what he is. I find it very shocking that 4 years of this kind of behavior did not produce overwhelming resistance and objection and people concerned about how the rest of the country was going to react when the leader of the country behaves in a particular way, does certain things. How does that make you feel that you experienced all 4 years of that? How did you manage to separate that from what you had to do every single day, which is to remain sane and navigate your life in a way that you feel or you felt reasonably in control? People aren't feeling very philosophical today, I take it, because I've announced the number a couple of times and we have had only one person call, but that's okay. It could mean that it's a painful experience to recount that part of our lives for the last 4 years and to try and figure it out as to what do we do with this? What can we do with this? Okay. John from New Jersey, you're on the air. Hello, John.
Sunny day today.
John, I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I have been better. First thing I want to say is, if Ed ever ran for office, I don't care what office it was, I would vote for him in a heartbeat. He always has his finger on the pulse of what's going on in this country. Second of all, you can really go on to ask a simple question of literally, what do you think of Donald Trump? Not much. Okay? That's what I think of Donald Trump. And we have to get over this guy as quickly as possible and hopefully not get into a fight with the maniacs that follow his lead. Other than that, I'm going to be the last caller for you today, I guess. I don't know. But you have a good day and hang in there. Thank you.
And thank you for calling in and contributing, John. Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Truth, how's it going?
Okay. How's by you?
Okay. All right. I'm surprised nobody's calling because it's like any other time.
No, we have lots of calls.
Okay, all right. In tackling the first question about political awareness and what I think about my politics now. You know, it's interesting that politics and I guess this is the problem we have as people who try to, get policy change to get the politicians to kind of work for the people. You know, one of the problems that I have seen in the last couple of years is there is no directness, no definition of what people really want. And I think the problem too is language. You know, how politicians use language. I guess just to quell the people's frustrations over them. So, like, for instance, with the whole George Floyd, incident and the subsequent, protests, you had all these companies, you had all these politicians, all these bigwigs who kind of, said, yeah, let's fight to end racism. But nobody really gave, like, a way on, okay, how are we going to do that? You know, so you even have the sports leagues who were talking about, you know, end racism. And it's like, well, why don't you just start ending racism in your own league before you start ending racism everywhere else? So I think there's no, like, directness, no clarity in what people want. And I think the politicians and other people, you know, other people in power kind of, you know, play on that. And, you know, just like this morning, I was listening to a podcast and, you know, somebody was complaining about, you know, the Chicago politics and the quote unquote gatekeepers. And the host asked, well, who are the gatekeepers? Name names. You know, we have to have a specific target. You know, one of the things that he also stressed was, you know, one of the reasons why the Laquan McDonald case and the subsequent, you know, protests became kind of successful here is because they named a target, and that was Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel was the target. And so you have to pick a target.
He's the former mayor of Chicago.
Yeah, the former mayor of Chicago. So there needs to be a target. We can't keep using these general terms of, you know, the elite, the gatekeepers, you know, these white people over here, or these black elitists over there. There has to be names, and there has to be people that we have to put a bullseye on. And in regards to Donald Trump, you know, he kind of falls into, you know, what I've been thinking about in the first question, is that he basically kind of made a lot of people take their eye off of the ball in regards to the issues of this of what this country is going through, and many people focused on his attitude, you know, his behavior, you know, and not knowing that he's not an anomaly. And people would always, you know, say, well, you know, he's the first racist president. No, he's not. We've had many racist presidents in this country, and he won't be the last neither. So I think he's been very good in deception, because all the attention was focused on his behavior, and nothing is really accounted for in regards to what really matters. I mean, you have people who, you know, they blame Obama for his foreign policy, but not realizing that Donald Trump has done as much damage in foreign policy as any other president who has seated on Pennsylvania Avenue. Does people forget that he's trying to destabilize Venezuela? I mean, he's literally trying to destroy that country. But I mean, people don't focus on that a lot. So, you know, that's what I have for now.
All right. Thanks, Henry, for calling in.
Thank you.
Ali from New York, you're on the air. What are you thinking today on these questions?
On this question, let me just talk about my political thinking right now when it comes to Donald and what is happening and what we could foresee in the future. The first thing that I have to say, that I have been telling people, that I had never had any regret not voting for Hillary, because I always think about the destruction that she did to the country of Libya. And but you know, this week I have been thinking about that, and I have been thinking about how the Trump administration took a revenge against people of color, especially black people, African American, and it had taken these four black men to execute them. And I do have to tell you, it had touched my nerve, and I just don't know if I could continue to say that I didn't regret not voting for Hillary, because to tell you the truth, that had really, really, I have been thinking about that all this week and last week, and when that man, 40-year-old Bernard, was executed. And I think that had been like a revenge that him and the Attorney General Barr just picked these people out of the blue. Since the 1800s, they have only, I think it was President Cleveland who was a sheriff who had done that. And these men just came out and just did it, taking these people. I'm not saying that they wouldn't have been executed, but I just feel kind of almost, not in a sense guilt, but I have been having some reflection on what is being done right now. The last person is going to be executed a few days before, if they take him out, or if he gets out, because until we see him on the 20 or the 20 out of that White House, we will know, I don't think we will know if he's going to be out. So my whole thing is that I do, this week has been kind of like hard for me to think about that. And like I said, these people committed a crime. This is the only country in the world that, and I forgot the other one. I think it's this industrialized country that they use the death penalty. And and especially he picked four black men. It just, to me, it's just stunning. It's just shocking. Yes, I never really thought that in these 4 years we would be able to survive this. But then I go back and think that over 70 million people, they voted for this man. And within that 70 million, over 70 million, we have people of color voting for him, which is just something that I can't get into my head. Because I would put him into the same category as Trujillo, as Franco, as Pinochet, and even Hitler, because these people, they spread out poison. They spread out poison among, and I'm not saying that these 70 people, they didn't really have the same thinking that they have now, because it did open the gate of, actually, they came out of the closet because they were people very quiet, and now they're out there, and we know they are there. So what I'm saying is the reason that I'm comparing him with that same group, and this is how I hope history point out about him, that he created this atmosphere here, that if it was big, now it's bigger, of the hatred of people wanting to beat up, the violence. And I'm not saying that this country is not violent, because you have to see what they have done, especially in Africa, but especially in Latin America. When you're part of this part of the side of the world, you will understand what this different government in the United States have done to our country. So yeah, it's a lot of violence, but now it's coming here, and it's just awful how we're fighting each other. Look what happened on Saturday in Washington, D.C. And this is something that we have to expect as happening. Even if he's not sitting in the White House, I could imagine what this man is going to be doing outside the White House unless he goes into jail. And I just don't see that in the near future to put him in jail. So, I have been very reflected about that election and the evil thinking and the evil thinking, the psychopath of this man, him, Barr, Pompeo, all these people that they have gone into his administration, and the things that they're doing, and the things that they're going to do even before he leaves. If he lives on the 20th, because there's a few things that he's signing up. I don't know if you're aware of what he's doing to the federal workers and also the people yes. with disability. And you could just go on and on. And it's a reflection that a lot of us that really don't want him, that didn't like him, should think about it, because we have something behind us. There's over 70 million people that they're behind us, and they see what's going to happen next. I don't know if that Thank answered you all much. Your question, but
you did very well
to think about it.
Very, very well. Yes.
Thank you.
You really have. Thank you very much for contributing today. Jackie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Latrice and PRN family.
Thank you.
I'm trying to compartmentalize your question. I'm not really clear about what
You have a radio on or something on.
That was on my phone. I turned it off.
Okay.
You have like 4 or 5 questions within a question, so I'm going to just try to tell you, you know, my feelings. Okay. First of all, I think it's far too much attention being given to Donald Trump and what he did and what he has done. I'm not trying to minimize what he's done. I think he's a diabolical person, but he was also supported and still being supported by people who support his diabolical schemes. Okay, so we know that, but we need to, as far as I'm concerned, we need to focus on where are we going and what can we do now. You asked the question about how do we see ourselves as compared to 4 years ago and politically, and I also think you mean in terms of just self-awareness, with certain people aging, and all of us have aged over the 4-year period. Okay, now, that's an excellent question. How do we see ourselves? Are we trying to drive forward while looking in the rearview mirror? Because as long as we keep talking and looking back at Donald Trump and all the policies and things that must be corrected, do we put energy on that, or do we put energy on determining that this should never happen again? So that's one of the issues that I think we need to address. And I've said many times on your show that people need to be aware of the issues, city, state, and federal. And like here in New York, they're having a mayoral race will be coming up. We don't hear anything about the candidate's position on various topics that are critical in this city. You know, people have to educate themselves, and they also have to make demands on their elected officials. No longer should we just have these town hall meetings and people come and rant and rave, and the elected official sits there and listen, and nothing is ever changed. People have to learn how that you make your officials accountable. If they're not going to be accountable, then they have to organize to get them out of office and either run for office themselves or seek people who will reflect, you know, their values.
How have you sensed, if you have sensed, a change in you? What is that change?
My particular personal changes are many. Right at the time when I had decided to retire with not really making a full financial, exhibition of my resources, and then right after that, COVID came. So now this has personally been a real challenge for me. But at the same time, I have to go on. I have to make plans. I'm looking at what is it that I can do to personally survive in 2021. And I think people need to come to grips with that. How are you going to survive in 2021? And not only one thing, all of this has taught us that we cannot look to the government or elected officials to take care of us. Because the sad part about this issue with Trump and the Republicans and all of that, and even the Democrats, because now, and I don't know, one of your callers always calls up and starts talking about the ruling class. But one thing I do agree with him about, that in the end, they look out for one another. There should be absolutely no debate or discussion about extending people's unemployment and benefits. Here we are at the end of the year, and they have to have a whole congressional discussion, and nothing ever comes out of that. I don't see anything that the Democratic Party has done to be very aggressive about challenging Trump and his policies. And this is the problem. They are trying to use a statesman-like application to someone who's really functioned like a thug and a criminal. And no one has ever, as far as I know, no one has ever even discussed, you know, they tried to impeach him. That was a joke. So the whole point that the American people have to understand is that we're going to have to return to situations where we will be able to survive. And that's a very serious problem in this country. You, even on the news, you will hear about the Dow and what Wall Street did, but you never hear about the thousands and thousands of people who are lining up for food or running out of benefits or possibly can be evicted at the end of this month. And we don't hear about that. We don't hear about what is the plan to address that. And I'm not saying that Biden and Harris are going to swoop in on a white horse and save everybody, but we have to come up with individualized and community-wide plans to survive. I don't know any other way to say that.
Well, you've said quite a mouthful. And finally, we're getting to where I was hoping that we would get to earlier on in the program. But I'm grateful for your instruction.
And well, I'm in it like everybody else. But I would like to just say something. I know other people are holding on.
Hold on for a second. I'm just going to let people know we have a lot of people in queue ready to talk.
Okay.
We will continue this discussion tomorrow as well.
Alrighty.
So that everybody
I'll try to call back tomorrow about the political philosophy.
You still have a minute or two that you can do.
This is my issue. Malcolm X said right wing, left wing, they're all part of the same bird. We have to get away from these labels that people use, and they don't even understand the origin of the label or what it means today or how it's being applied. I'll give you one example, and then I'm going to hang up. They took the whole notion of defund the police and totally corrupted it. Initially, the defund the police slogan was to say we should take resources and put them in other places and not use the police force where social workers and mental health workers should be in the mix. But there was no funding for that. But now that whole concept has been corrupted into people thinking that, no more police force. Well, of course, obviously, you have to have some type of police enforcement.
Yes,
so I'm going to leave
you
it there.
What I want to do is I have to cut because we are out of time. But I promise you, we return to this discussion tomorrow. There are many people wanting to say their few words about the questions asked today, and I have to give them the ability to do that because we need to hear what they have to say. And I thank you very much, Jackie, for calling in. I thank everyone for calling in who has had an opportunity to share their thoughts with us, and we'll continue tomorrow. Thanks again. Bye-bye.